Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. It is a Thursday, which means it's time for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport joins us from ESPN.com. TD, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am in a very cheery mood for some reason, but what? I have just one very simple question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can Will Levis be fixed?
I think he can. I do think he can. And it's funny because they're playing the Green Bay Packers this week, right? And their quarterback is a guy that a lot of people were ready to give up on and say, hey, you know, go back to the draft and get another guy. And look what ended up happening a few months later. He becomes the highest paid quarterback, you know, in a long time for that temporary moment until others beat it. So, it's just another case of what I strongly believe in is don't panic, just let the process play out, trust it, right? And then also don't make a rush to judgment. I think it's two games in. Like, it is two games in. There were mistakes, obviously, but there were good things also. And these mistakes, it's the cost of doing business. I'll put it that way. You go back and you watch the Dolphins game from last year, and there's some plays where you see him make the play, and you're like, no, 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 no. Well, damn, that was a good play. You know what I mean? And it's the cost of doing business with Will Levis.
So there was a line that Blake Bedingfield had, the former Titans scout, that had in the PaulKaharsky.com piece that he wrote that does kind of concern me. And he said, quote, the issue with Levis is the lack of anticipation on his throws.
Mm.
On a third down with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he waited for Tyler Boyd to run to his spot past the sticks, turn around before Levis released the ball. That allowed the defensive back to easily break up the pass and force a punt. I think you know the play that we're referring to, or that Blake is referring to there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there's something to that. I do think that, like, when Levis gets up there and he talks about, you know, well, I got to be more focused on the time and the place and the things like that, there's a fear for me that now he's going to be thinking, I so don't want to throw an interception that he's not going to be willing to make the anticipatory throws.
Yeah, there are some throws where he does get the ball out before the receiver makes his break. And that's the thing that you have to understand. Like, there's going to be yin and yang to it. You know, you talk about anticipation. I mean, you look at the deep throw to Burks that a lot of people have discussed, right? And sure, you want to take the shot. But you also, you look at that and you see the safety bailing out, right? And you see Ridley has inside, you know, he's the corner is behind him. You see that safety bailing out. You see the corner going with Burks. Anticipate the fact that from the hash mark on the left all the way over to the sideline, all the way down the end is open. So just throw the ball, let him go, get under it, and he probably runs away from the corner, catches it, and it's an even bigger gain. So that's an example of anticipation. But there are other throws that he's made. Like, you look at the throw to DeAndre Hopkins, right? It was the slant. I believe it was an 8-yard gain on that last drive, right? You know, he threw it. He knew Hopkins was going to come out of his break. He threw it, and Hopkins came out on that slant, and he reached out, and he got it. You're going to have throws where he makes a good read and it throws with anticipation. You're going to have others where he doesn't. We got to remember, he hasn't even played a full season of games yet, so it's way too early to expect everything to be perfect. There are also, though, I will say, signs where it's like, yeah, this guy, I don't know. You know, so it's just you can't go either way, if you ask me. It's just it remains to be proven.
What good, though, is he doing? Like, what is a sign where, you know, there's something so far this season where it's like, that right there is exactly how it's done. That is what a starting quarterback in the NFL looks like. Because, I mean, the throw that he hit Ridley on, I thought the throw that Ridley dropped was better than the throw that he hit Ridley on. And the throw that he hit Ridley on, I mean, to me, that was a total luck ball. And it's great, but it's probably not going to work anymore if you try it. But where are the moments where it's like, hey, like, this is what an NFL quarterback's supposed to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was a luck ball. He saw that, that Ridley had the corner beat, and he threw it out there and allowed his guy to go get it. Like, I think that's a plus. You look at throws, right? You look at the Bears game where he hit Ridley across the middle. That's an example. Look at the Jets game where he hit Tyler Boyd on that deep in break and the square in. That's an example. You look at you could go back to last year and see some of the throws. You know, that Dolphins game, I encourage you to go back and watch that again, because there's some throws in there where you're like, okay, yeah, this is what you want from a quarterback, you know. He has multiple throws where I think you could say, I mean, you look at the throw that Ridley dropped, right, or that went through his hands.
Sure.
I mean, that was a very nice throw. Look at the throw to Tony Pollard, right? And I know
the one
Pollard,
before halftime?
Yeah, I know Pollard got rocked, but that's not – he put it right into place. Like, he dropped it in the bucket to him. Yeah, Pollard got rocked, but, I mean, that's the only place he could have put the ball.
I thought it was a bad decision.
Well, where should he have went?
I just think that if you're going to throw a ball that gets your running back sent to the hospital.
But he didn't get sent to the hospital.
I know, but that was a hospital ball.
I don't know where else he should have went or how else he should have done. I mean, I think that was a good throw. That was a very precise pass.
Sometimes
your guys are going to get, like, it's understood. As a pass catcher, like, sometimes you're going to get hit. And that's just the bottom line. But, I mean, you know, I don't see anything wrong with the throw. I don't see anything wrong with the decision either.
Oh, I thought it was terrible. I mean, he floated the ball up there. He basically leads the safety right to Pollard. You know, if the safety isn't playing the way that we teach it now in football, which is like, whatever you do, do not, you know, lead with the helmet. Don't get the 15-yarder. If this was 10 years ago, Tony Pollard may never walk again. Like, that's how dangerous that throw was.
You're once again doing something that you're infamous for, and that's like putting your hands out and asking the moment to handcuff you. Like, let's not be so extreme. He's never going
to
walk again.
To me, those are the kind of throws that get people hurt. And it takes one guy that's just like, all right, I'm going to lay this guy out. These are the throws that Tom Brady talks about when he's like, I hate this stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that throw. I'm looking at it again, right? He hit his back foot, and he let the ball go. Like, he threw it and led him to the outside. He led him up the field. The safety came over and made a play. Like, he didn't, like, lead the safety there at all. If you look at the play, there's no route for the safety to be concerned with. So, naturally, he's going to go over to that pass where it's going, because there's no other route, no other deep route. It's not a bad throw at all. That's an example of a very good drop in the bucket pass.
I think it's dangerous.
Football itself is dangerous. Like,
I know, but there's some things where you can – we talk about it in practice, right, when a guy throws a pass and we're like, if that's a game now, you're going to get hit.
He got hit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that pass whatsoever. I'm watching it again and again. I watched it 5 times in the time that we've – there's nothing wrong with that pass at all. You can't put it on a line, because if you put it on a line, he's not going to be able to go get it. Like, you want to – there's nothing wrong with that pass.
So, would you say right now that Will Levis is against the Jets? Because there was a lot of talk about how the game was improved significantly outside of the rolling of the football. Would you say that you feel like Will Levis showed himself well on Sunday against the Jets? Or would you still say that probably wasn't good enough as far as, you know, him proving that he's a starting quarterback is concerned?
I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, for the most part, he made the right reads. He made the right throws. It's just that one mistake, and you can't take that mistake away, but that one mistake jades a lot of things. And, I mean, from talking to the OC, the head coach, the quarterback coach, he's working through the progressions the way he's supposed to. He's doing the things he's supposed to do. So I'm going to say it earned him another opportunity to be a starter. I'm not going to say he proved himself to be the starter, because he still had that mistake that he made. But, you know, at the same time, he made some plays here, and I think he played a solid game.
Are you disappointed that he wasn't able to hit the throw to Calvin Ridley around the goal line and was not able to put the ball in the end zone at the end of the game?
I would like to have seen him get the ball to Calvin Ridley on that throw. Now, the end zone throw, and this is where you got to understand the play design and how things work. on that play, right, it's not on him that Chig got jammed, right? That play, Chig is designed to run a clear out, and it's kind of like Boyd is supposed to cut underneath him. But it was supposed to happen, that underneath cut was supposed to happen beyond the end zone, right? But because Chig got jammed and then there was a little bit of pressure there, Boyd had to break his route off quicker, knowing that, hey, look, I got to get open for my guy. And that's why the route was in front of the goal line. You know what I mean? And, look, you got to get rid of the ball. Like, you can't take the sack. So he had to throw it, and that's what happened.
Can I tell you my biggest beef with that goal line series was that I really thought, given the fact that they had saved their timeouts, I would have liked to see them try to run the football. Not thinking that they could get the 8 yards into the end zone, but the Jets were – yeah, well, the Jets were so playing the pass, you know, where it was going to be clogged up, that I think if you run a draw with Pollard, he probably picks up four or five at least, and now everything with your timeouts, the clock's not really a factor. Now kind of everything's on the table from the 2 or the 3 yard line.
Yeah, I'm curious why they didn't do that. That's a good point. It's definitely a good point, but I think you also got to factor in. I want to say it was that series. I'm checking back now just to – make sure that I'm on it. That throw to Hopkins. No, that was the second to the last series where DeAndre Hopkins was being held, and they didn't call it. Sauce Gardner was holding him. I don't know if you remember that play. It was – actually, no, it was that drive. It was second. It was second and eight, and he was throwing to Hopkins on that – the
like
cross,
the left corner of the
end zone. Yeah, the corner there. And Sauce Gardner held him. Yeah, because he gave him that little stick to the inside and then went out, and Gardner fell for that stick, and he held him. So
TD is with us here on the program. So then the question has to be, how much of the Titans' problems right now at 0-2 are Levis, and how much are not Levis? Because there is – you know, another part of this football team. We'll do that next with TD. 615-737-1025, and we'll hit your phones at the end of the hour as we always do. It's Stillman and Company, the TD Power Hour, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Will's improvement from week one to week two to me was noticeable. Everything about how he moved in the pocket, where he had his eyes, just everything about playing the position was better in week two. I think offensively as a whole, there was a lot of things that were better from week one to week two. We got to get a lot better between week two and week three. And that's just that's the nature of the NFL, especially in the early part of the season, is how quickly you can improve your team and what you do well. I'm really pleased with how he played for the most part, and that didn't change after we watched the tape. And every week you're going to go through with a quarterback, and there's going to be a handful of plays that you could say, hey, what if you could have gone here or here? Here's some things that could have been different. So that's a normal process, whether you throw for 350 yards or 150 yards. That doesn't change. So that part is pretty consistent. But I thought that Will made a really nice improvement from week one to week two.
That was Brian Callahan talking about his quarterback. TD is with us here for the TD Power Hour. So, TD, I was wondering this today, and I put this specifically for you, which is how much of the Titans' problems – there's always going to be complaining when you're 0-2, but how much of the Titans' problems are Will Levis related and how much are not? For instance, the punt blocking – not Will Levis's problem.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put everything on him, right? I mean, the defense, you talk to the defensive players, they'll tell you, hey, man, we got to get some turnovers.
Yeah.
We're not getting turnovers. You know what I mean? They'll tell you that. So there's a lot that goes into the formula. And I mean, it is very truly stated when you say the loss doesn't fall on one person. Like, there's always points within the game where something should have gone another way that didn't, and that helped also.
So when it comes to the defense, I'm glad you brought that up, and I know Denard Wilson talked today, so I do wonder if they talked about this, but not only are they not getting turnovers, they're really not getting all that close to turnovers. And again, I know like a fumble is a fumble, and if the Jets don't fumble it, then you can't force whatever, but it's like the corners have done a good job so far, and they've done a good job rushing the passer, and they've done they really never forced Aaron into kind of turnover territory, and I wonder how they kind of flipped that this week for Green Bay.
Well, that's not to say they didn't try. There was a point early in the game where and this is where I really like a guy like Denard Wilson. And you know, you say, oh, he's a new play caller, this and third, but he really is masterful in how he puts stuff together. Right? There was a point where they had a blitz package in. They showed too high, and we know about the tendencies, this and the third. So they showed Aaron Rodgers that, and then they also showed him a blitz coming from that side. But then they dropped Arden Key into coverage on the other side, and they wanted Aaron Rodgers to see all this, and they tried to bait him into throwing the ball to the hot receiver on the right, opposite of where Arden Key dropped back. But Amani Hooker swooped down in there to be in position to pick the ball off. It's basically what I drew up for the Whiteboard Wednesday against the Bears. Like, that's an example of trying to scheme into a turnover, right? But Aaron Rodgers, being a veteran it is, he cocked it, and he saw what was going on, and he recoiled. But guess what? Harold Landry got the sack. You see what I'm saying? So They're making attempts to do it. But if you also go back and you look at what Denard Wilson said when he was first, when I first asked him about turnovers, right, and what it takes, he said you have to attack the ball aggressively, right? And you got to populate to the football. They need to start. Like, how many times have you seen a tackle and there's four or five guys in on a tackle? Like, you need to see that more, right? Because, and Denard Wilson even spoke to this point today, where he talked about that second or third guy arriving at the party and punching the ball out. And it's no coincidence that you see them during individual period today and yesterday, they're working on that very thing, punching the football out, because that's an emphasis. And typically, and this is why I would be frustrated if I was a Titans fan or a Titans coach or Titan player, typically what you emphasize is what you produce. They're emphasizing these turnovers and doing drills specifically for it, but not producing them. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I did feel bad because you talked about how they were doing the match hands last week. And when Simmons, you know, is trying to do what he's coached up to do, to try to bat an Aaron Rodgers pass, and then his hand gets knocked into Aaron Rodgers' face mask, they're going to call it every time.
Yeah,
they're going to call it every time. And it's not – I mean, it's not Simmons' fault. I mean, it is roughing the passer. It's not Simmons' fault. But it is a penalty, and they're going to call it, and they're not going to think twice about it, especially when it's Aaron Rodgers.
Excellent point.
But to your point, it did highlight what they had spent the week working on, trying to bat an Aaron Rodgers pass in the air, because my guess is they probably knew, like, hey, if we're going to pick Aaron off, it's going to be because we get a deflection and the ball goes in the air, not we're going to trick Aaron into, you know, making a mistake or something, like he's some rookie quarterback. On the blocked punts front, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. I've just resigned myself that as a Titan fan, TD, I'm just going to live with terrible special teams for my entire life, and it doesn't matter who's coaching them. I mean, it could be the guy the Packers have, Bisaccia. He's a great special teams coach.
Right.
It could be him. It could be me. Anywhere in between, it's not going to matter. I just – when I saw that punk get blocked, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know. Like, I get on the coach, and I think eventually you almost have to get on the coach on this, but it's like, I mean, I know he's telling them to block their man, and what's happened in each of the two punt blocks is the guy just hasn't blocked his man.
Yeah, it's an eagerness to get down, and it's crazy because, like, you know, the coverage unit, like, you want to, hey, listen, man, we can't give up a big return. You know what I mean? And that's what you're thinking. But you got to understand that the ball has to get off in order for it to get returned. And so you got to remember, like, first things first. It's just like a receiver. It's funny. So after the Eagles game with Saquon, he dropped that ball. My mom texts me, and she's like, he has to catch it before he runs with the damn ball. And it's just the same. Like, you got to block the man before you could go down and cover. And that's not what Chestnut did. And, you know, Colt Anderson said that he has to, you know, coach him up on that. And, yeah, I mean, it's just small things that ended up, you know, leading to a large consequence. And that's what you have. And, man, Ryan Stonehouse, like, I know if I was him back there, I'd be like, yo, what the heck, man? Like, what's how can we get this right?
Do you think some of this, though, to your point about them wanting to run down there, is because Stonehouse is kicking it so far that it's like, you know, we want to try to cheat just a little bit to try to get up there because Stonehouse kicks the ball so far that sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's hard for him to not outkick the coverage because he's kicking it so far.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, he gets good hang time on it too. So it could go far, but as long as it's up in the air for a good amount of time to give the guys time to go get it, you know what I mean, it's not an issue. And he's not doing line drive punts, so I don't think that's as much of an issue. I think they understand that they got a ways to go in order to, you know, go get the punt returner. But, yeah, you got to first things first, man.
And then on the offensive line front, TD, I, you know, have watched the two games and have not sat there with a pen and compared it to last year or whatever, but I'm not convinced that even though the line's got work to do and they need to be better, and you know I love getting on PT, but I am not convinced that it's as bad as the Dennis Daly, the Andre Dillard, and the Jalen Duncan lines. I'm just watching the game, I don't think they're as bad. And then I leave the game, and every website and pressures and Next Gen Stats and Pro Football Focus, and it's like, this is the worst. So yeah. Where are we on the offensive line?
I think it's bad, you know, and actually to Nicholas Petit-Ferrer's credit, you know, he spoke about he said Bill Callahan talked to him about being more aggressive, especially in pass pro. And he was like, some of the guys, like me, haven't been more aggressive. And he was like, we got to fight. We got to turn it into a fist fight, and we got to fight. And I'm like, oh, his x-rays, his chest x-rays are starting to look different, right? It looked like he got a little dog in him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, talk is cheap. You got to go out there and put it on the field. So I think it's bad, but, you know, the end of the day, you also have to realize when it's time to help somebody. And that's something that Brian Callahan said, you know, it's partly on him. Like, sometimes we got to help. This week, Rashawn Gary. Listen, you got to help that man, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, go against Rashawn Gary because Gary is an elite pass rusher. So this is a week where it's going to be individual performance as well as coach. So it could be worse, trust me. But it's going to need to be better if they expect to win.
Did you ask PT if they should start or sit the Packers defense this week?
I got over there late, and there was something else that I was working on specifically, so I didn't get to stay on there.
That's too bad. His fantasy, he's an expert.
Yeah, all right. I mean, hey.
This is the week, TD, that I feel might be taken from me. Uh-oh. Malik week. And I don't want it taken away from me. What we think about Malik, Jordan Love, and all that, the Packers, we'll do it next with TD. And, of course, we'll hit your phones at the end of the hour. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. Let's talk FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. And this year, FanDuel is giving you a chance to win big every Thursday night with FanDuel Squares. It's the same as the Super Bowl Squares, you know, the game that everybody loves to play, only way, way better. Because the numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. And you can pick as many as you'd like, and you get to see the odds beforehand, and you can bet them live during the game. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/JGM and bet on Thursday night squares. Plus, if you're new to FanDuel, you can get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Let's go to a developing story. Adam Green Bay. Adam Schefter is here. Adam, what's going on with Jordan Love?
Well, he's been back at practice today, Laura, for the first time since he hurt his knee in Brazil in that Friday night game against the Eagles. He was wearing a sleeve, a protective device over his knee, and it still is uncertain whether he'll be able to make it back in time for Sunday's game. But clearly he is making progress. Him being out there is a sign of progress. I continue to go back to what I've been told throughout this process, which is that it was a 3 to 4 week injury. And if that is indeed the case in the end, that would mean that it would put him on track to return next week against Minnesota or the week after against the Los Angeles Rams. But the Packers aren't giving up hope yet that somehow he could make it back this week, which would be an incredibly quick and impressive turnaround if he can get it done. He's out there. He's trying. We'll see if he can make it back on Sunday.
That was Shefty talking about Jordan Love yesterday. This morning, Shefty tweeted out, day-to-day for Jordan Love, 50-50 chance that he plays on Sunday. TD, if I get a vote, I vote no. I want Malik Willis on Sunday. I want a mano-a-mano Malik Willis versus the Titans. And if Malik beats the Titans, it'll be an all-time tire fire around here, which I'm not completely against. And if the Titans win, I'll be happy as a Titan fan, which I'm also not completely against. So I am scared to death, TD, that my dream of Malik Willis and the Titans on Sunday, which seems so likely, it seems so likely after Malik won on Sunday, I'm worried it's getting pulled from me. What are we hearing? What do we know? What do we feel? What do we think, TD?
Well, I'm sure you saw the video that Rob Demosky posted of them during individual period. He was booting out, and he didn't seem to have any hiccup or anything like that in his gait, and he was running over bags. I don't think he plays. I think it's close, and Rob told me that there was a chance that he could have played last week, but I really think they're saving it for Minnesota. This is one of those games where, I mean, if they could go at least one and one, right, in those two games that he was out, I think they would be pleased. And obviously, you want to give your best shot every week, but I think so. What was Matt LaFleur? He said all the way up until 90 minutes before, that's when they're going to determine it. I would say let's see how he is warming up. I'm going to definitely make sure I might end up in the opposite end zone on Sunday watching him see what he does, you know, as opposed to what we normally do is, you know, on the Titans side. But, yeah, I think it's going to come down to that. And they'll have a better idea on Saturday. I would say watch Jeremy Fowler, watch Schefter, and watch Rob Demosky's Twitter because that's going to tell you the best bet on what's going to happen.
Okay, so let's look at the Malik front right here, which is, I know you and I talked about this morning. TD, I thought that the Indianapolis Colts had some of the worst coaching I've ever seen on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. The fact that it took them three quarters to drop somebody extra into the box, it got DeForest Buckner hurt. And on top of it, you know, they let Green Bay run the ball. I know that ain't going to happen on Sunday.
No. You know, so, for sure that's not going to. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so what do we think about the matchup with Malik?
Yeah, I think they are going to look to run the football, but they really, the DBs, they got to make sure that they stay home, right? They got to make sure that they don't bite off of play action because, you know, it's known that they're going to look to run the football, right? And I think, you know, the good thing is the Titans are a team that could play well in pass coverage without using a too high. You know what I mean? Like, they could drop a guy down and still have solid coverage. So I think that's a good thing. I would imagine that you'll eventually see, you know, some of that big nickel, and even McCreary, you know, he's a guy that could tackle well too. So I think they'll be fine defending the run out of their sub packages. But the big thing for me is this, and we kind of touched on it. You look at the, obviously you have the gap and the power scheme that they're using, but there was a lot of misdirection. And that's why I asked Denard Wilson about, you know, you got these two linebackers that, you know, you describe as pit bulls and aggressors, and they get downhill. And these are guys they like to read and trigger. But what happens when they get victim to misdirection and they trigger to the wrong gap? You know what I mean? So that's the thing really to watch, that game, you know, how they're reading their keys, that guard pulling or the different things that they have to read on each run play. They can't get fooled to where their aggressiveness is being used against them. This is something, he's a Hall of Fame linebacker, but it's something they would always see done to Brian Urlacher. They would misdirect him, let him run himself out of the play, and somebody else has to come clean up. You can't have that this week.
How impressed were you by the throws Malik did make on Sunday against Indy?
Yeah, I mean, the throw that he had to Dobbs was a good one. The touchdown to Dontavian Wicks was another good one.
I thought that was a freaking beauty.
Yeah, and I mean, he has arm talent. I mean, you saw it in the Saints game, you know, that blast that he had to Bryce Oliver, you know, for the two touchdowns. You know what I mean? So there's arm talent. Those are really good throws.
I thought Brian Callahan had a little bit of a tell yesterday in the press conference when he was asked about his corners. and about, you know, just, hey, just giving the receivers, whether it's Dobbs or Reed or whoever, and just saying, all right, L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie and Roger, you guys got your guys. And he kind of took the – and I forget exactly how the question was asked, but it was asked about kind of letting the corners be the corners and then committing to the run. And he just started talking about, yeah, we really like our corners. Our corners play real tough. Our corners are great. And he clearly kind of moved where the question was. And I think it was because that might be the game plan, which is, hey, you guys got the receivers. If Malik's playing quarterback, you guys got the receivers. Everybody else worry about the run.
Yeah. No, I think that may be something that you're going to see. But Denard Wilson talked about it a bit too, you know, and he was mentioning how he feels Chido is back, right? He feels Chido Awuzie has his, you know, full health back, and he's a guy that, you know, they could go ahead and play. And it doesn't always have to be traveling with a receiver. I think that was interesting that he said that. I don't know how they're going to go about this. I feel that, again, it goes back to what I said, where I feel that they could defend the pass well, you know, out of just having a single high safety, a center fielder. And I think that's because they trust their corners.
TD, how does the game plan change if Jordan Love's active?
I don't think it changes. I think you play the same. I think you play the same and you work to make him beat you. Because even if he is active, the fact of the matter is he suffered a pretty significant injury, you know, a couple weeks ago. So he's still not going to be himself. You want to work to collapse the pocket into his face. You want to make him move, get him off his block, and see how – like, you want to make him uncomfortable, right? And the bottom line is this. I don't care if he's active or not. He's not going to fully be comfortable on that knee. The question is still going to be there. So you want to make him move around.
Do we know if that game next week is in Lambeau Field or is that in Minnesota?
I'm not sure. I could check for you real quick. But, no, it is home. It's home. It's Lambeau Field.
Because I wonder, you know, the Titans field turf is apparently like this super advanced, super
field
turf.
Yep, it's home game.
Kinda.
Yep.
But there's still a sentiment around the league. Like, even though the Titans have a different turf than everybody else has, I still think the players kind of have a sentiment that, like, nope, turf's turf and turf's bad. And the reason I say that is, if I'm Green Bay, isn't there a part of me that also says, you know, do I want Jordan Love on that turf, especially given the fact that that field in Brazil was so bad? And that's maybe not why he got hurt, but it was ugly. I wonder if that plays a role in their decision-making.
Hey, I mean, that's a good point. It could play a bit of a role, but, I mean, end of the day, I think it's just they're just going to let him rock out, you know, however it works. I don't think that's going to be the main factor. It's going to be more or less how does he feel, how much can he protect himself. The fact that he practiced yesterday and today I think is a good thing, and it makes the chances good, but I just feel like they save him for next week.
We will go to your phones next. 615-737-1025 for TD. 615-737-1025. It is not lost on me that the Mets have a two-game lead in the wild card, and TD is wearing his Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden get-up. So, it's not lost on me, TD. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, no Doc Gooden today. It's all Daryl.
It's all Daryl today. No, my heart will not be broken one way or another if they make the playoffs or don't. It's almost like a minor league team. Your questions for TD are next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. TD's with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, do you have a thought or do you want to go right to the phones?
Yeah, just two quick thoughts. One, I don't know if you heard Nick Holtz, his press conference today, but he talked about how Will Levis at times will eliminate things like places where he wants to go with the ball pre-snap. I don't know if you heard that, but I thought that was really interesting that he said that, because that could also lead into what some people think are predetermined destinations for the football that he makes. So keep an eye on that. And then the other
thing, it's actually the opposite. It's predetermined where it's not going.
Right, right. Now, the other thing is, if I told you that a guy went 217 completions on 358 attempts, 2,509 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 19 interceptions. If I told you those were the stats in his first season, would you tell me that guy would go on to be a Hall of Famer?
11 touchdowns, 19 picks, first season.
2,509 yards his first season. If I told you those results, would you think the guy
Troy
would go
Aikman.
On? I'm not saying who it is. I'm just saying, are those the numbers that would make you say, hey, he's going to be a Hall of Famer?
No. Those would make me think he's going to be Bryce Young.
Yeah. Well, that's Brett Favre in his rookie year, 2010. So I'm just saying, you know.
Did Favre start as a rookie in Atlanta?
Hold on one second. I'm going to go back to that. 1 second. Hold on. It gave me the wrong stats. Hold on. I'm trying to find that game log.
I will say this, though. Aikman's rookie year was like an all-time debacle. And they lost every game, and Jimmy Johnson said it was the worst team, that he would have traded any player on the team.
Yeah. Remember, they drafted two quarterbacks that year. They drafted two quarterbacks. They had Steve Walsh. Now, go ahead to the phones. That's a bad shot on my part. I'll take that. I got to be better.
All good. Kyle's up next here. Kyle, you're on with TD. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle, go ahead.
Good to talk to you, TD.
What's going on?
I'm enjoying watching this defense play, man. I love watching Simmons and Sweat eat up double teams and let them linebackers flying around the corners. They're legit. It's been a while since we've had that around here. If we'll get this bleak together, can you see this? You know, we should go in 2-2 into the bye. Can you see us making a playoff push still?
It's still early to look at that. It's way too early to look at that, but it's also way too early to cancel the season. I think that it's not just Will Levis. It's all three phases. Defense has to get turnovers. Because remember, they're at the bottom of the league in turnover ratio. They're dead last, -4. By the way, the Packers are tops, +4. But you got to get that right. You got to get the special teams together. It wouldn't hurt to get a nice return, right? So you need that. And, yeah, of course, Levis has to get his issues together, and offense collectively has to get better.
One texter says, TD, how likely do you think it is the Titans should win against Malik Willis and Skylar Thompson?
I mean, I think they should beat both of them, win both of those games. I think it's likely that they do, honestly.
One texter says, TD, how many more boneheaded mistakes from Levis, not the mistakes like the interception to Burks, but the boneheaded ones do you allow before at some point you have to change?
And that's the million-dollar question. I personally don't think you change from him. I think you just – it's one of those things where you just grin and bear it for the season. But I just wonder at what point – do you risk losing the locker room? Because guys are working hard, right?
Derek brought that up Monday.
And you don't wanna put all that work in just to be put in the most likely situation to lose. So it's a balance that Brian Callahan is gonna have to figure out. And that's not one that I could say, honestly.
And the thing too is like the guys have been very supportive of Will Levis, but I think that only goes into a point, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like where eventually it does become a, hey, man, I'm busting my tail, and this guy keeps making boneheaded mistakes. I think they can live with just the regular mistakes, but it's the truly boneheaded ones that then kind of put the coach in a spot. What do you make? A couple people have asked about this because I was just throwing this out there earlier today. I woke up this morning and saw the headline that the Panthers aren't trading Bryce Young. And I just thought, you know, if this were the offseason, like if this were March, you know, and the Panthers were willing to do a deal for Bryce Young, and normally when someone says they're not going to trade somebody, it means there's a chance they will. You know, I would trade Levis straight up for Bryce Young because I did think that Bryce Young had real talent and was a legitimate high-end quarterback in the draft, and I think Carolina has done their best to screw him up. I ask you this, which is, if Bryce Young was available, would you have any option, and what do you make, or any interest, and what do you make of kind of the scenario that Bryce Young and the Panthers find themselves in?
Yeah, I would have interest, but I haven't watched those two games to really and I know enough to know what I don't know. So I'm not going to comment definitively on that one, But I would definitely have interest because I do know what I've seen in college, right? But that doesn't always transfer. So I would have to take a closer look at those two games and look a little bit at last year too. You know what I mean? Obviously.
I just kind of felt like from an evaluation standpoint, I thought Bryce Young was a good prospect coming out.
Yeah,
and I know he was
absolutely.
Short.
Absolutely.
And I know that, you know, he was short and small, like, which was – a detriment, but I definitely thought he was like it. He been available at 11 when the Titans picked Skoronski. I mean, I would have been screaming, take Bryce Young. And I also think, too, again, to your point, I haven't watched the Carolina tape, so I don't. But Baker and Sam Darnold are playing much better than they did in Carolina, although Darnold was okay there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, situations are going to dictate that, too. I mean, you look at Sam Darnold. I mean, hey, look, you know, good throw to Justin Jefferson, but Jefferson on that 97-yard touchdown, but, you know, Jefferson accounted for a good 60 of those 97. You know what I mean? So it's sure. Like being in good situations, they help. Mike Evans, you know, happens to be one of the best receivers in the league. So I think that will help. Carolina, there's not much there, you know, there's not much.
One texter says, TD, what do you think the Titans' biggest strength is against Green Bay?
I would say their ability to run the football, because the Packers are just not good at stopping the run, and it's been that way for years. And
even though Shane Steichen decided in the fourth quarter he didn't need Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. I mean, first of all, if a team runs for a 164 on me in the first quarter, like, I'm dedicating the whole city to stopping the run. You know what I mean? But that's just me. But I think the Titans running the football, I think that's the advantage that they have. And if I was them, I would get Green Bay in a situation where they're selling out to stop the run and work that play action and get a couple pop plays, you know, that way.
One texter says, TD, what is the most surprising thing you've seen so far at the beginning of the season?
Most surprising thing? That is a good question. If he's talking Titan-wise, I would say Titan-wise is just that this defense hasn't created any turnovers, because like that's just been the emphasis. We've heard turnovers, takeaways. Like, we've heard that over and over and over and over
again. Well, I'd say getting two punts blocked would be my Titans thing. I mean, that was
– I mean, yeah, getting two, but you asked me, right? I'm telling you, me. True. You are punt blocks, and I get it. You know what I mean? But, you know, mine is not getting any turnovers.
By the way, I would throw out there just for me, for the whole NFL, and I haven't watched it to see, the Saints putting 40 points up a game, that's something that I did not have on my paper card.
And the Ravens 0-2, losing to the Raiders.
So I was following, you know, how like at the stadium they just have the little scoreboard in the corner, and then they every now and then check in on scores around the league, and they give you like two highlights, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Ravens had that game won.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people are like, did you see the Ravens lost? I'm like, they lost.
Justin Tucker missed a 50-yarder.
Like, he missed one in the opener.
Yeah, man.
Father
it's
time.
It's going to start snowing soon.
Father time. Father time coming
undefeated.
For him. TD, great stuff. As always, we will talk to you next week. Of course, Talking with TD is available as well. We will also talk to you on Sunday for the award-winning pregame show. And if Jordan Love is in, we will have the expert opinion first on the field, like CBS TD will be. Dr. Davenport will be taking a look at that knee on Jordan Love. TD, great stuff as always.
For sure, appreciate it.
Yep, TD joining us as he always does. And again, just the Titan schedule is going to move that power hour to 4 o'clock, which, quite frankly, I don't mind. So there is something that is right up my alley. That if I just wanted to wail on the Titans, I could. And a lot of you are. But I'm actually going to defend this part of the football team. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The End.